Frolicate.
This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
Cheers, Dan Malecki.
Well, thank you. Yes, you get the idea that maybe this show's called Correct Weight. So welcome, everyone. Good morning to Correct Weight. We welcome you all and see we'll go through the day's racing at Moonee Valley, a review. We'll find the excuses why those horses that you liked or our expert tipsters liked and didn't come through. And on the other hand, the horses that might be there to follow through the early part of the spring, or there might be a handful of horses we can follow all the way through the spring. Later on in the morning, we've got a really good preview for the Sandown meeting lined up. It's a terrific race day. It can sneak up on you, but it's Grand National Hurdle Day. And we've got 10 races at Sandown. So it's a city meeting on a Sunday. And we'll have a good run through. Nick Quinn is here from the tab, not just to run through the prices for that Sandown preview with Brendan Delaney and myself, but he's also here to review the day's racing at Moonee Valley yesterday. Good morning to you, Nick.
Good morning, Dan. And I might need to get the textbook out and teach you how to use social media, because you obviously haven't learned how it works yet. If you tip a horse and it wins, you're a genius, and it's bang and it's fig jam and all that sort of stuff. And if it gets beaten, it's pilot error. So obviously that's what we've got to get away from discussing today on Correct Weight, and maybe take a little bit of blame for some of the selections that didn't go to script.
Okay, well, there we go. There might be a few excuses coming up. Brendan Delaney, good morning to you. You're a regular on this program. I know you tipped well yesterday, so I don't think you'll have as many excuses as Quinny this morning. How are you?
Not too bad, thanks, Dan. We're around the money. We got close, but wasn't a disaster day. We got out with something, so that was okay, courtesy of More Than Ever, which was a really good performance in the staying event. But I really enjoyed the eighth event, and one of the earlier races too for the three-year-olds was a nice race that we might be able to take a couple out of as well.
The track was a soft five, but there was a surface that we hadn't seen, or a new Moonee Valley surface. It looked really well manicured with the rail in the true position. There were suggestions that perhaps it might chop out a bit towards the end of the day, but the truth was it looked pretty even, and it certainly didn't chop out at the end of the day. I'd say all round it was a good day to have a punt at Moonee Valley, but everyone involved with the preparation of the track would have to be wrapped.
Yep, we get a pretty good look at the track, Dan, as you would know from in the broadcast box. We're pretty much sitting on top of it from the top of the grandstand. It looked in tremendous order. There was hardly any marking. You know, a couple of horses went round in the morning, you could see where they had been, but as the day went on, it wasn't marking up or anything like that. It was good to have the valley back. When the valley's rails true and they can sweep from the back and the leaders get their chance as well, I think it's one of the best places to have a bet when it's playing well.
We'll see a bit more racing there, Nick, over the certainly the next month, because there are more Saturday meetings as we head in towards obviously the big day, the Cox Plate, but also the night meetings as well. So it's going to get well utilised, and it did need that little bit of a break, which I think was about 4 months.
And isn't it funny where you don't have a track for a while, how you really appreciate it when it's back? And I think a lot of people were excited to watch and play at the Valley last night and yesterday, and it played really, really well. There was no bias for mine. We saw some runners that were up on speed be there in the finish. We saw runners swoop and come into it wide and get the job done, like Usain Bowler, and we also saw runners take rails runs and get the job done as well. So you really could win from anywhere, and as a punter and a race expert, that's all you want. You want every horse to have their chance, and that's what we got yesterday. So superb the way the Valley has returned, and hopefully we get to see it play well throughout the end of the season, and obviously Cox Plate Day being the grand final. But absolutely no complaints whatsoever about how the way the track played first day back. I know a few people were a little bit concerned it might have been a bit of a leader bias first day back, rail true, but that certainly wasn't the case.
Well, Usain Bowler was a warm favourite in race number 8. He SP'd at $2.90, but got in shorter at one stage there. So for a lot of people, he was the best bet on the program. It was a competitive race with a few horses that could have spring aspirations. And let's see and listen to Matty Hill's call of how Usain Bowler did it.
500 metres to go. Sheriff Johnstone, four deep, pours it on outside of Arrow Lane and rocks the castle, followed by Tavasan stalking those from Beautiful Flyer. Age of Chivalry behind them. Usain Bowler's trying to work into it from Highland Beat as they run the turn. 200 to go. It's rocks the castle, Arrow Lane, Sheriff Johnstone. Tavasan makes a line of four and goes on by. Then Usain Bowler. Tavasan halfway up the straight. 100 to go. Usain Bowler's coming out after it with Beautiful Flyer. Tavasan stopping Usain Bowler. Peeks it back and got it. Bowled them over. Usain Bowler from Tavistan. Beautiful flyer photo fourth. Age of Chivalry or Columbia?
Usain Bowler started favourite to wind up strongly. He was in a spot coming around the home turn, but gee, once he balanced up, he really hit the line strongly. And his trainer, John Sadler, joins us this morning. JD, good morning to you and congratulations with Usain Bowler's win yesterday.
Thanks very much. Good morning, Danny, Nick and Brendan. Yeah, no, it was a really, it was a good race, that race, I thought. Of course, Mick Price's horse was pretty unlucky. Did a lot of work, that horse. It was a great run. But don't take nothing away from our horse. He's been a very good horse to us. And, you know, I think there's probably... I think he's still climbing the ladder and maybe there could be a reasonable race down the track for him.
Coming up to the home turn, he was in an awkward spot. Whenever you've got a horse around you, John, that's probably a half length in front of you, it's an awkward position to be in, but he's pretty tough. He certainly showed that. He took a bit of riding, but once he'd balanced up, he really knows how to motor to the line.
Yeah, he does. He sort of, he's really learned how to be a racehorse now. And as you said, Dan, he found the line, you know, he was strong to the line. We didn't have any instructions at all for Mark. He's well informed and he's a great rider, so no need to tell him what to do. And even though he looked to be in an awkward position, you always had that, you know, touch of confidence because he had such a good rider on his back.
Sads, he's lightly raced. He's had a couple of issues, but it does look like he's come back in terrific order. Not just the win yesterday, but running the fast enclosing sectionals at Flemington last time he stepped out. Do you have to sort of just see how he pulls up before you get too far ahead of booking a plan with him, or is there something you've now got in mind on the back of that nice win yesterday?
Well, look, he was extremely impressive one day at Flemington and 1200 metre race there, and we probably all got a little bit carried away, got ahead of ourselves and ran him in a couple of unsuitable races, being the Oakley Plate and the Newmarket, just too soon. Maybe that might come next year. But we decided that we'd go back and just come through our classes. There's a benchmark 90 over the 1200 at the Valley in a fortnight's time. So he'll go to that and if he's able to win that and come through it well, then we might step him up in class a little bit then.
Rail True at the Valley off the Canberra, John. That's a good scenario for him, particularly if he can get into a position coming around the outside of the pack like he did yesterday.
Yeah, he probably... I thought he was in the market. He was very short, but Brendan, I think it was because he did map well, like as if he was going to get a nice run and... the horse that was going to be hardest to beat, Tavistan, it looked like what actually finished up happening to him might happen. And he was stuck out very deep. I thought, gee, it was a brave run. So, you know, although I must say, you know, coming to the 400, I thought you were going to need quite a bit of luck. But he was able to get that, and those good jockeys make it happen, don't they?
They certainly do, and you did mention he was heavily backed, $4.20 into as low as $2.80. You didn't just wind the clock back and just go back to the days where you were betting in cricket score numbers and come out of retirement, did you, Sads?
No. Just very quiet as far as the punt's concerned. Getting older and losing my dash, but just more about just winning races now.
Speaking about getting older, happy birthday for tomorrow, John.
Oh, thank you, Danny. Yeah, thank you very much. 65, I was just saying to someone, I remember when I was a kid, people used to die at 65 and they'd say he had a good innings.
Well, we don't want that to happen. You've had a good innings no matter what happens, but hopefully still plenty more birthdays to come. And obviously you've got some kids doing wonderful things at the moment. We want to see you around to see them go well. And hopefully the good success can continue today with Sam's Image at Sandown. Now, you scratched from a race at Moonee Valley yesterday in preference of this race. What was the thought process here?
Well, he drew 15 yesterday, so... I was, you know, you just couldn't run from there, especially with the pace from the inside, and especially after seeing the race, I was more than happy that we didn't run. Drew 6 today, field of 12, 1,200. Horses going really well. Probably his best journey has been, like his best performance has actually been when Peter Morgan had the horse. And that was over 1,100. As you can remember, he beat Nature Strip on a couple of occasions, this horse. So 1,200 is probably as far as he wants to go, but I reckon he just about ticks every other box, comes in very well at the weights, and I think he's got a great show today.
And the Lakeside track, you'd think out of the two Sandown tracks, John, the Lakeside would suit him better.
Yeah, well, I hope so, Danny. I think so. He actually, his last run was behind Pavasan, and he was taking ground off that horse getting to the line. That was in the 1,000-metre race a couple of weeks ago. So you'd think, geez, looking at Pavasan yesterday, if he can run up to that sort of form, geez, going to be in it up to his ears.
Yeah, it is a good form line. Two horses wouldn't mind getting an update on, and one is Oak Door, who was terrific, winning first up. What have you got in store for him?
Yeah, Oak Door heads to Flemington next Saturday in the Ori Star, and after a good win in the Sir John Monash, so looking forward to him having a run down the straight.
And the other one I'm interested in is where Big Night Out might be.
Oh, Big Night Out actually strained a tendon, and he's out spelling. He's at Peter Moody's property spelling there. He'll start some treadmill work at Peter's soon, but you won't see him back until after the spring.
Stable going very nicely at the moment. Are there one or two other runners that you've got up your sleeve that you're hoping can take the next step in the coming weeks and months?
Yeah, I have, but I'm not going to tell you what they are.
Can you text me so I can have a bet then tell the RSN family?
No, there's a couple of nice horses. I'm still looking forward to this horse, Sartorial Splendor, getting back to the track. He's, of course, his last start, he ran second to the good filly Hayes that won a very strong fillies race yesterday. So still, you know, he's a work in progress, that horse, but he's got really, really good ability. If we can just turn him into a good racehorse, which is going to be a bit of a challenge, but looking forward to it.
And what about the JD Saddler progeny? Tom's in the Grand National today. You'll have eyes on that. He's having a terrific run in the saddle over the jumps.
Yeah, he is. He's really... I've had better judges in the jumping game than me tell me that he's going pretty well. And he's very lucky to be at this early stage of his career to be riding in a Grand National, but... I'm sure he's looking forward to it. He's loving it. He absolutely loves the game. And, of course, he's able to ride at a weight that doesn't do his head in, you know. So he's able to stay in the game and stay in the competition. But, yeah, show him a jump, and he's very keen to get over it.
And Edward, I don't know how often you get to see him, but obviously he's had stints in Singapore and Hong Kong, and loves his racing and race calling and commentating and expert tipping. And where's he at the moment with the break in Hong Kong?
Well, he's commentating over there. I haven't been over to see him yet. His mum's been over two or three occasions and seen him. He loves it over there. The people are extremely good to him, as you know, Danny. He's a lovely lad, Edward, and just about everybody likes him. And he's going pretty well at the commentating. Race calling, I don't know whether he's, you know, you'd have a better idea than me, but I don't know whether he's quite up to it or not. But he's got a great work ethic, so whatever he takes on, he'll do well at.
Jeez, you're very harsh on him with his race calling. I really like his calls. I think he's a bit of a gun, but sometimes you just need to just temper his enthusiasm, do you, and bring him back down to earth. So I suppose that's a good thing as well. Now, when you see Sam's image, do you cringe a little bit? Because this is the horse that did knock off Nature Strip that day. You had Nature Strip when Nature Strip was about $1.50 and Craig Williams was in the saddle, and Sam's image got the job done at $61. So can you forgive the horse with a win today?
I'll forgive him if he wins today, but I... cringe was the right word. I was felt like we're under a bit of pressure that day, receiving such a good horse from Robert Smurden, and felt quite a bit of pressure just to win the race, and it all went belly up. But anyway, he's gone on to be, unfortunately, not with me, but gone on to be a very good horse.
John, thanks for joining us this morning. Look, congratulations yesterday, and we wish you many, many happy returns. Happy 65th, and hope the winners keep rolling in at a great rate.
Good on you, Dan. Thanks for that, guys.
John Sadler, he's a legendary trainer. Everyone loves JD. Like, I remember him back in the Flemington days, and he is an icon. It's always satisfying to see him get a winner or two. We mentioned Edward, his son, who's been posted throughout Asia for the last, quite a few years now. It sort of creeps up on you sometimes how long. But there's race callers that are in the family, and that includes Frank O'Brien. So on the maternal side. So he had a terrific upbringing, and naturally with a dad being a trainer, I think for either Tom or Edward, somewhere within the racing game was always going to be a $1.10 chance, I think.
He's a great character as well. I was lucky enough to do a sportsman's night with him last spring, and I don't think I've ever laughed harder and got paid to do so, because he just had the whole room in raptures, and I don't think you'll mind me telling this. He was having a few beers with the punters and whatnot, and he got paid $500 for doing it, and he tipped the $500 over the bar and kept drinking with the patrons for the rest of the night, and they absolutely loved it, and rightfully so. And some of the stories that he tells, I'm not sure they're appropriate for radio, but my goodness, they're funny and entertaining.
See, the story I heard was he put $500 over the bar, but he got paid $2,000. Now let's have a look at race number 8. Brendan, Usain Bowler. Look, I thought his win, he ran up to what you know that he can do. There was some good runs in the race. There was a couple of poor runs in the race. And there was at least one unlucky run in the race.
Yep. I thought Tavasan was probably the unluckiest of them all, but it was always going to be hard for him where he was going to land from that gate. They went really hard. Olon Star, Roxa Castle, Arrow Lane, Sheriff John Stone up there in a line of four, really. Had the pace wound up from a fair way out. Tavasan, it was always going to be interesting to see what scenario played out for him. I was pretty keen on him. I was hoping he'd be able to get three off in the spot that Age of Chivalry was sort of underneath him. If he could get into that three wide line, it pretty much played out the way I wanted it to for him, him being the first one to them on the turn and trying to put a break on them. But just the way the race panned out and that little bit of extra work he had to do just told on him the last 100. Usain Bowler got a peach of a ride from Zara. He was three back the fence early, and then he's three wide on a trail on the back of Tavasan coming to the turn, and Mark just got him into the A1 spot. And I think with the camber off the turn at the valley, that's just a really good scenario for him to be able to launch. Beautiful flyer. She was in traffic everywhere she went. She didn't really get clear. She made a run with Usain Bowler, but she wasn't really clear to the 150. She's ticking over well. Columbia's run a stormer from the back, Age of Chivalry. He just got a little bit keen in the early part of the race, which was a bit to his detriment in his last preparation. If he can iron that out through the early part of his races and relax, it's going to help him. But he was finding the line well. He had to dodge and weave around Arrow Lane and Rocks the Castle that were getting tired. And I thought even one of the roughies, Snowano, for a 201 chance, he landed the back of the leader, got dragged out of it on the turn. I thought, he's battled on okay, so there are a few good runs to take out of it, but I think Tavasan can improve off this, and Usain Bowler as well. I think they're the two we might be taking forward into the spring that can be competitive when the bigger boys start rolling into town.
I'd be really forgiving of Age of Chivalry. I know he's got that tendency to over-race, but when the momentum shot around him, he was badly held up, and I really like the way he finished off. So I think he is, a horse to follow here. Perhaps Rocks the Castle of the favourite runners was the most disappointing.
Yeah, absolutely. Looked like it was going to be right in the finish on the turn and probably had the gun run compared to some of the other favourites that were up on speed. But, yeah, did melt late, unfortunately. Usain Bowler, for mine, I just thought there was a stride or two at about the 400 where he wasn't going anywhere. And I thought he wasn't travelling that well and Zara had to get into him. But once he balanced up, he let down really impressively. Tavasan, for mine, was the run of the race of the beaten brigade. I think that stayed in the obvious, but Tavasan looks like he's in for a very good campaign, and you can make a case that Age of Chivalry can basically be forgiven and forget Age of Chivalry went around. But it was an interesting watch for mine because Tavasan, ridden by Benny Malum, and Usain Bowler, ridden by Mark Zara. Now, they're the two jockeys that are in contention to get the plum ride on Santa Ana Lane this campaign. Both of them have had great success on the horse, and connections haven't made the decision which way they'll go. So might be interesting, Brendan, to see if there's just a little bit of extra rivalry between these two over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think it might come down to just who's in the right spot at the right time, who might buy the Freedman's the best present or something like that. I'm not sure. Another one out of the race, Highland Beat was a really good run. He went back from a... He got a long way back. He was wide and swept into it. And back to Rocks the Castle. He was first up. He had to absorb a lot of pressure. He was in that duel, that four-way duel, and all the horses... They might be a little bit inferior than him in that duel. All went by the wayside on the turn, so maybe just a little bit forgiving next time. A softer lead for him might be more in the making, and he'll take some benefit out of the first up run.
And Columbia ran really well, and this is a horse that's gone on in leaps and bounds since going across to join Will Clark, and never runs a bad race, and got into the first four money again yesterday. Going forward, I think it's going to be tough in Melbourne on Saturday grade, but I think that's one horse that has certainly improved in a new environment and can win more races in the right jurisdiction.
Well, that's one of nine races we're going to look at, so judging by the time we spent on that, we'll be here till midday going through Mooney Valley.
This podcast is brought to you by rsn.net.au.
Approaching the turn, 450 metres to go. Asseteers controlled the speed, led Memphis Rock by a neck. They were followed by Skador, Al Burke, rowing along the jockey there on the outside of next in the field, Condos Express, and then Sir Menajuke and Trigva. Asseteer, Memphis Rock around the corner. At the 200 metres, Asseteer and Memphis Rock. Then came Skador. Condos Express is starting to barge out. Memphis Rock up to Asseteer. Condos Express is the one. Sprouting Wings. Condos Express has won it. From Asseteer, Memphis Rock, Skador, then Al Burke.
Condos Express bought for $3,000 at the Scone Select yearling sales. Blinkers on yesterday, given a lovely ride. Linda Meach, a pick-up ride. It was the first of her three wins yesterday, Brendan.
Yeah, in a bit of trouble too. Three back on the inside. Steele led the race. Memphis Rock set in the breeze. They didn't go overly hard, so it was always going to be hard for her from where she landed in the run. Watching the race, you thought the Moroni pair of Elberk and Skador were probably going to be the two that were going to figure in the finish with Memphis Rock and Astier, who had good runs on top of the speed. But Linda bided her time, took her medicine, went back to the inside, was desperate for a run. Run appeared, and it wasn't until the 80-metre mark where she was probably clear. A little flick down the shoulder and away it went. Nice way to turn 3,000 to 74.5 and what he'd picked up prior to that. But he was really slick. I really liked his turn of foot at the end of the race. Maybe the Moroni pair behind, just wanting a little bit further than the 1,000 metres, both coming back in trip. Front two ran well and forgiving of the debutante, Sir Menager. He sat three deep, faced the breeze throughout. But Condors Express, he'd been running well without winning. His three placings at Wangaratta, a Sale and Echuca, he had run second on all three occasions. He'd been well accounted for by the winner, but he'd held the rest of the pack off quite comfortably. A length and a half, 2 lengths were sort of the margins between second and third on those occasions. So just back to the 1,000 might have had him a bit sharp with the blinkers on. He was too good.
Yeah, definitely made a difference. He found the line pretty strong. Depth of the race, I'm not sure. Maybe a couple of those horses might want a little bit further, Nick. But the winner in the it's funny you see how some horses, when you put the blinkers on them, they look like they're 50 kilos bigger. They just give that impression that they're a really big, bulky horse, and that's the impression he gave me.
The winner was very impressive, Condos Express. I thought Asseteer, the runner-up, is worth following. The fascinating runner, though, was the beaten favourite, Al Burke. Now, what do you do with this horse now, who just can't crack it for a win, is always heavily backed, was off the bit and crabbed the turn for mine, and still looked a winning chance at one stage, but then copped another bump, and for mine appeared to throw the toys out of the cot from that point on. It was only over 1,000 metres yesterday. Do we think we can be patient and forgiving and he might be better over more ground, or is he now simply getting too costly?
It's not going to get any easier going forward, is it? That's the only line you've got to take through it. He's probably going to be out to the 12 and then 14. He might progress on a bit further, but with the springtime rolling around, it, the competition's going to get harder. So you've got a horse coming off a couple of maidens in the bush to beating him yesterday, although he got a good run through. Maybe just the gelding operation. And he didn't have an overly long break coming through the Talon Dirt. His last run was in February, so maybe just one run to get him going, the gelding operation. Sometimes if they geld them too late, the damage is already done.
So. But he used to be quite speedy, didn't he? And
yeah.
Then he, in his jump out, he was a bit slow away and got back. And even yesterday, he didn't have that sort of ping, and perhaps that's not what he's set up for nowadays. Maybe he does want a little bit further and was benefited by the run yesterday, but you still would have liked to have seen him find the line a bit better.
Yep, for sure. Maybe 1,200 out to 14 in his next couple of runs, we might get a better guide on him, or maybe he wants a 1,000-metre race with a bit more speed in front. He didn't go overly hard through the early part of that race, Memphis Rock, and a steer controlled the tempo pretty much throughout. So maybe one more chance, but I won't be tipping him again until we see him do something a little bit more than what he did yesterday.
Especially if he's such a short quote. I mean, he's always so respected in the market, and he's ran some really nice races, but it's almost now getting to a case where if he keeps going round at short odds, you're happy to take him on, and if he does win, so be it.
Yep, at 240 he started yesterday, so... And there was money for him, yeah. So there was confidence there to suggest that he'd run well. But
well, wasn't really the strongest, you know, Colts and Geldings Saturday race. I wouldn't have thought, like, the form out of it might be okay, and the winner, the way it got to the line, you'd think it might be able to improve with a run. And it was race fit. I mean, it's easy afterwards, but, perhaps we have to be semi-forgiving of the beaten brigade. I thought perhaps the best race of the day might be race two. Some really nice fillies were engaged here, and I think the race turned out to provide that the winner is going to go to greater heights.
So Jettastar is the leader. 450 metres to go. By a length to Mockery. Seatonic sliding up. Absolute Flirt behind them from Rumble Doll. Tarayev has it back to follow, followed by Andrassy Avenue. They've dropped off Mystical Pursuit. Jettastar, Mockery grabbed by Seatonic on the point of the corner. But here's Tarayev letting down the outside. Seatonic grabbed by Tarayev with 100 to go. Rumble Doll back to the inside, but Tarayev takes the lead. She's smart. And Tarayev won it by about a neck on the line. Rumble Doll, Absolute Flirt third. Then Seatonic, Andrassy Avenue, Mockery.
Matthew Hill with his call of Tarayev taking out the second event yesterday. It was really good support for it, and didn't let them down, but it was a funny race. Jettastar slow out, made almost a faulty stride at the 700. It was a bit weird. I know it wasn't really picked up in the stewards' report, but obviously Mystical Pursuit was, as it made contact with the running rail at about the 600.
Yeah, you could almost put a pen through those two runners. I mean, Mystical Pursuit, everything went wrong in the run, and Jettastar, such a fascinating runner, because we saw Jettastar show lightning acceleration earlier on in her career, and they rolled the dice by contesting that Group 1 race. And for mine, I mean, it's going to be fascinating to see what they do going forward, because it's not going to get any easier for her, but you can make a case that yesterday was just totally a forgive run. Half-bombed the start, and from there she had to be hunted across to find the lead. And once she did, I didn't feel that she got into a comfortable galloping rhythm, which we have seen from her in the past, where she's been out in front, she's been very quick, and she's been hard to run down. It looked like everything was under a bit of duress yesterday, and as a result, she did feel the pinch on the turn and faded. And the jockey, Zach Spain, was pretty kind on her late in proceedings. I don't think the run was as bad as the official result of 8.3 lengths. The winner, very impressive. I can black book one here going forward, though. I thought the stablemate of the winner, Andrassy Avenue, ran a nice race. She played up before the race and she underwent a vets test, and you never like to see that happen. Very rarely does that happen and they come out and run better than the expectations placed on them on that occasion. She was past fit to run. She copped a check at about the 700 metres, but then I thought once she got balanced again, she finished off her work quite nicely. She overtook a few over the concluding stages, and I do think she'll win a race this campaign, albeit maybe in slightly easier grade, which is a bit of a theme from yesterday's program with some of the black bookers. I want to be on them going forward, but not necessarily in Saturday grade.
And Brendan, for a small field, there was a few little incidents there. Michael Poy got suspended, rode Rumble Doll, who was pretty solid, but there was a number of stages during the running of that race where there were incidents of some sort.
Yeah, when Jettastar is out, looked like she half wanted to little kick out at about the 700 when she got to the leading cross Mockery. She wanted to flick her tail or something like that, and she just didn't look happy, but... you know, the stewards report said she mightn't have been all that happy with the tongue tie. I find it, I'm not all that forgiving on her. I think she's a 1,000-metre horse and she rolls along in front. Some days she'll get them, some days she won't. And I think, you know, races for her are only going to get harder with more pressure with better horses coming back. Absolute Flirt, absolutely unlucky, got caught up behind Jettastar. And then when Michael Poy came down on top of Ollie at the top of the straight, just halted his momentum again. But... buoyed by the comments of Nolan after the ride on Tarayev, he said, "This is the one I'm going to keep my weight down for well for the spring, so that's a pretty good indication. She had jumped that well prior to the race. She's a nice big filly. You'd think she's only going to improve off the 1,000 metres. I like the way she got to the line. C-Tonic, I thought, was good, stepping up in grade, and I was tipping up for Andressi Avenue yesterday, as Quinny mentioned. She was backed out of the gate. She played up, not what you like to see. Well, you know, three-year-old fillies effectively just out of their two-year-old season, coming back from, you know, a spell, not an ideal start to the campaign, and then she just got her head up in the air and overreacted about the 700. So I'm really going to be forgiving of her going forward. And the Tasmanian horse, Mystical Pursuit, that was a really interesting little part of the race coming through the gap. Looked like Ollie just had to check for a stride in front on Absolute Flirt, and she just overreacted and startled, made contact with the rail, and that was the end of her race from there. Just dropped the bundle and lost a significant amount of ground, and probably, you know, only beaten 6.5 lengths, probably lost the best part of, you know, 4 or 5 lengths on that occasion. So taking forward, would she probably won the race? I don't think so, but was entitled to maybe finish a little bit closer.
So Tarayef and Absolute Flirt, black type horses?
Yeah, I think they can both measure up for sure. Absolute Flirt has proved that in the past, you know, runner-up in the National Stakes in Adelaide. She won the Queen Adelaide at listed level. She ran second down the straight to Yes, Yes, Yes back in December of last year. How far does she get out? Does she stay at the sprinting? Does she roll the dice as a three-year-old filly and push on to the mile? You would think the way she got to the line yesterday, there's a little bit in store for her over the spring.
Yeah, definitely they look like some classy fillies there. Well, not to be outdone. In fact, inspired by Linda Meach's win in race number one, Jamie Carr took the reins on Something Silver in the third.
The field pack, Something Silver goes to the front from Catching Beams. Riverina Lass at the 250. Kiss and Cry just needs a run. Then Paint the Town too. Something Silver goes for home at the 150. Two lengths, Riverina Lass, Paint the Town 2 and Kiss and Cry. Something Silver, 100 to go. Paint the Town 2 coming out after Something Silver, but won't get it. Something Silver beat Paint the Town 2. Hanboshi through for third, I'd say, from Broken Treaty.
Well, previously the 1600 had always been a little bit of a question mark for Something Silver, but given a lovely ride yesterday, the race turned out well. The leader just stopped as if it was shot Catching Beams. It's two times in a row that she's done that. And Something Silver, case of in the right spot at the right time, Nick?
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good win, though, and a very good ride, because she did have to do all the donkey work and lead the rest of the field up behind the tearaway leader in Catching Beams as well. And Jamie Carr didn't panic. I think just sort of let her find her rhythm, get into the race. And she was there to be caught and ran away from them again on the line. So I thought it was a really nice win. We had Clinton McDonald on yesterday, who gave her a really good push at the double figure odds. So hopefully a few punters had a couple of coins on Something Silver. And I tipped her and got a very nasty tweet after it as well, which was even sweeter that I could reply last night after the race saying that Something Silver did win. So cop that punter who was a bit nasty there on the social media. But it was a really good win. And I think, you know, at this sort of grade, she's always going to be competitive. The fascinating runner for mine was the beaten favourite, Kiss and Cry from the Mick Kent stable. Was well supported throughout the course of the week. And just before the turn, I thought, well, the favourite's got this. Just loomed up just behind the...
It was in the right spot, really.
Just behind the leader, Something Silver at that stage, with, at that stage, nothing else in the race, swooping into it like it was going to be prominent. And I thought the favourite was disappointing.
Yep.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, dropping 9 kilos. She had a fair bit in her favour. Maybe she didn't handle the quick backup from last Sunday, but I thought she was entitled to finish off the race much better than that. Broken Treaty's finished ahead of her, had a much tougher run than her from well back in the field. And they've met three times now. Broken Treaty's been going around double or triple Kiss and Cry's price the last two times they've met. She beat her at Bendigo, and then she beat her again yesterday and beat her by a good margin. I just think Kiss and Cry's one that's just starting to be quite costly for the punters, you would think. The only excuse I could probably make is the quick backup, because she was there to win, and, you know, whether she backed up or not, she had that big drop in weight that I thought she'd be able to accelerate off on the turn after the run she had.
Effectively a race that you would often see at a midweek level, I would have thought. So where would some of these mares, is there a question mark they can get to a Saturday mares level?
Well, yeah, you have a look at the winner, who has been ultra-competitive in all of her racing, and the runner-up, Paint the Town 2, is probably the other black booker I want to take from the race. Won very well at Sandown 2 starts ago, and then ran that nice race yesterday. So I certainly want to be with those two in Saturday mare's grade. Kiss and Cry has been thereabouts. Moscow Red, ultra consistent, bombed the start yesterday and ran a nice race. I think she can potentially pick up another race maybe midweek this campaign. But yeah, going forward, I'd be happy to stick with Something Silver and Paint the Town 2 in Saturday grade. Apart from that, I'd be surprised if any of these won a race in Saturday company this campaign.
I think most of these girls are coming to the back end of their preparation. A few of them are quite deep in. Moscow Red, Lucky Wicks, Paint the Town 2, Something Silver only having its fifth run back. It might be able to progress, but Broken Treaty's been up for a long time, and has Kiss and Cry, so a lot of these girls might be coming to the back end. And if we do see them in town again in the coming months, it might be under the lights on a Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good point. Miss Mandito was trapped three wide all the way, and with a big weight, it had a pretty tough run. Well, after the break, we're going to have a look at the horses on the committee of the Money Munching team. New Universe had its day in the sun yesterday, showed what he can really do on the right day.
Elite Drake approaching the turn of the 400. Packer Daly and Travi, my friend, go up to challenge. New Universe stalking those from Ventura Storm, Hanamosa, and Guizo hooks to the outside. Packer Daly moves up and takes the lead around the turn from Travi, my friend. Then New Universe, and next is Guizo. It's Packer Daly in the straight at the 150. New Universe is the threat. Packer Daly a neck. New Universe coming out after it, though. Takes the lead, New Universe, and New Universe has won it. By three-quarters, Packer Daly, Photo third, Kentucky Breeze, or Hanamosa, then Guizo Tantat trusting.
Well, it was New Universe's day yesterday. It looked like it might be in the finish, certainly coming up to the home turn. It was another pickup ride for Linda Meach. She made it a double. The girls had got three of the first four. New Universe, he's either one of those horses that you follow and he sends you broke, or he's one of those horses you're prepared to risk every start, knowing that every now and then he's going to bite you on the gluteus maximus.
Yep, he got back, followed Packer Daly into the race. No luck Flemington last time off a 13.50 freshen up run in Sydney. The race set up well from yesterday. Elite Drake led, rolled along at a good tempo. Travi, my friend, on the outside the mile, was always going to be a little bit of a question mark on both of those two horses. Packer Daly, I thought he did a really good job. Sat three deep on the speed, 2,000 back to 1,600 metres. Ventura Storm, the unlucky runner of the race, but New Universe tracked up on the back of Packer Daly and he's been promising a win for some time, and he delivered yesterday.
He's a fascinating horse. He won his first four career starts after the win yesterday. He's now won three of his past 34, but he's a bit like Goldilocks, and yesterday the porridge was just right. Got the beautiful cart into the race with Packer Daly, making that what appeared at the time to be a race-winning move on the turn, and shot away. Packer Daly, I mean, racing in terrific form and potentially could pinch another win this campaign, but New Universe just got the lovely steer into it from Linda Meach and got the job done. Ventura Storm, I thought it was a pretty good effort. I think it's going to read much better than eighth, beaten 5.5 lengths that the form guide will indicate, and Ventura Storm could be set for a good campaign as well. Outside those three, Kentucky Breeze worked home well and could win a race as well. So New Universe got the job done yesterday, but I dare say if the same field went around next Saturday, we could see a totally different trifecta.
Packer Daly sat wide. It was a pretty good run coming back in trip.
Yeah, that was a bit of an assignment for him. His stats at a mile aren't that great, Packer Daly, but off the freshen up, he ran well over 2,000 metres, and I'm not sure if it was just a tick over run in between, but he gave a good account of himself. He enjoys racing at Moonee Valley. He can progress out to 2,000 again or stay at a mile and be competitive. Guizo was another solid run for him. He's you know, running to his mark in these races. Tantat Trusting got a little bit further back than probably anticipated coming back to the mile. His work was good late. Kentucky Breeze didn't have the greatest deal of luck on the turn, but I think it was just New Universe was a horse that got the right run into the race on the back of Packer Daly. I think, could you give that run to Tantat Trusting, Guizo, Kentucky Breeze? They probably all go and win from being in that three-wide tracking up position as well.
And Travi, my friend, it was an out-of-character run. He'd been very consistent. Was perhaps the track just not quite wet enough for him, but usually Moonee Valley has that sort of give. It was definitely below par performance.
And the pace was a lot stronger than the speed's been in his last few, and he was a lot closer. The day he did win at Caulfield, he was right back off the speed, made the mid-race move off a slowish sort of tempo, and then he was there to beat Shahatzi last week. He's run pretty well behind, you know, a quality galloper, but maybe just that fierce tempo that Elite Drake set through the early part of the race just a little bit to his detriment in finishing it off over a mile.
Well, Damian Lane was back in the saddle for the fifth race. iBoogie was back from $20 to $10 and given a peach of a ride.
They come up towards the turn of the 400. Al's been hard up against the inside, led by a length. The Great Artiste in hot pursuit, Full of Theories whacking away from Fast Plan. Then Willoughby Rules and Mercy Street to the outside. The Great Artiste on the point of the corner takes the lead from Elsvin at the 150. Then Fast Plan, iBoogie's getting out. Then Mercy Street, Willoughby Rules. The Great Artiste, 100 metres to go. iBoogie wearing it down. The Great Artiste curling up, grabbed by iBoogie. iBoogie won it by a neck, the Great Artiste. Mercy Street third from Fast Plan.
Really savaged the line the last 50 metres, iBoogie. I think if you were on the Great Artiste, Brendan, you would have thought, oh, I'm home here at the 50 and the old Early Crow would have got you.
Oh, I don't think I Early Crow, but when they came around the turn, I thought there's nothing making ground out wide that's going to get me. And then the gap.
Half an Early Crow, wasn't
half
it?
An Early Crow. But I knew he was out because he had done a little bit of work getting into that three wide line just to make sure he didn't get cluttered up. And he pretty much got left in front when the leaders stopped. Probably a bit further than he would have anticipated. So Jordan Childs did the right thing, put the eggs in the basket and went for home. But he was pretty tired, third up from a breakout to the 1,500 in the last 50. And iBoogie, after overcoming plenty of difficulty getting through, the seas parted through for him. Through he went, and he was heavily backed yesterday. 20 down to $9.50 he was on the VOP. I think he started around the $10 quote. But he was well back, so there was plenty of support there for him. Speed set up well for him. Generally, when he wins, he's booming down the outside. But the run back in between, Damian Lane, a patient ride, and he was too good for them.
And with the blinkers off as well, settling that little bit further back has obviously helped it. Nick, what did you see out of that race?
Yeah, it was an emotional win for Scott Cameron, obviously now training the horse under his own name, but it was terrific to see iBoogie get the win. But I've got a black booker from this one, one of the bigger black bookers I've got from yesterday's card, a horse that ran a beautiful seventh, and rarely will you say that. Diplomat Jack, one of the best seventh I've ever seen, was held up badly, was badly checked, and made up really good late ground along the rail. Now, this is a horse that we saw win at Flemington on New Year's Day in a race where Lure Me In had plenty of luck. It was all bad, and Diplomat Jack got the job done on that occasion. And I think a win in Saturday Company is not too far away from this bloke. He started about $10 yesterday, so hopefully at a nice quote when we see him go around next.
Yeah, he's definitely one that jumps into my black book, Diplomat Jack. He was good. Trigger Point was another one that didn't have the greatest of luck, had a nice run in behind them, just got dragged back when the leader stopped after going too hard, and he was right back towards, three-quarters of the way down the field after sitting behind the speed on the nearing the turn, but they're the two I'm taking out at Snipes. Very unlucky. The change of tactics would have pressed forward. They tried to press forward and covered plenty of extra territory, so forgiving there of Snipes, who's seen plenty of the outside. One that hasn't won for a while that I thought was a much better run yesterday was Spring Tycoon. But if I'm taking one out of the race, it's definitely Diplomat Jack.
The sixth event, actually, Lewis German suspended in that race for 11 meetings. He rode Legale. The sixth event was for the Stayers. I'm not sure this is going to turn out to be just a Saturday Stayers slogfest, because the winner has got scope to be a pretty handy horse.
The Statesman, Diamond Grace lead together, approaching the turn at the 400 metres. Here's Bling Dynasty looping them around the outside with Miramar. Then More Than Ever, and back behind them, Habisher. Bling Dynasty up towards the turn, takes the lead at the 200. The Statesman trying to find the reserves. More Than Ever back to the inside, then Miramar. Bling Dynasty at the 150. More Than Ever scoots up on the inside from the Statesman. More Than Ever, Bling Dynasty. More Than Ever's coming away for Jamie Carr. And More Than Ever, two lengths Bling Dynasty. The Statesman third. Photo fourth, Princess and Achiever or Almito.
Jamie Carr posting a double with a beautiful ride on More Than Ever. If you'd backed it, you just would have felt so comfortable in the run. It was chomping at the bit. All it needed was a little bit of a gap before the home turn. And that gap came, and as soon as it got through on the inside, I think it was game over. It should have been a pretty comfortable watch for Tony McAvoy, the trainer, who joins us now. Good morning, Tony.
Yeah, good morning.
That was a beautiful ride. You must have been pretty confident, A, going in, because the horse is flying in Adelaide, but all it needed was that gap, and the room came just as they were coming to the turn.
Yeah, absolutely, Dan. Look, it's such a joy to have these high-class riders riding for you, and they just make those decisions. One of the favourites, very easy to panic in that situation and do something, get desperate. And the good riders like Jamie yesterday, just took her medicine and just waited for something to unfold. And the thing about Moonee Valley, they're all at their top. Most of them are at their top coming around a turn. So if you wait, there is generally some movement.
I like the fact that this horse and the Adelaide runs were very similar as you've stepped it up in distance. It's a stayer that travels so well on the bit. It's not the sort of horse that seems to come off the bit at the 600 and then plug away. It just travels beautifully. Any punter that would have been on would have been really on really good terms with themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Jamie actually made the comment yesterday. Jamie rode him some time ago, quite a long time ago for me. And he was quite an aggressive horse in those days and used to pull a little bit. And her comment yesterday was how well he relaxes and travels for you, as you point out. She always had plenty of horse under her. And of course, when that gap came, he quickened really quite impressively, I thought, after racing in a race that had quite a bit of tempo in it.
Tony, he's building a really nice race CV. 11 starts now for 5 wins and 3 runner-up checks. How far do you think he can get? Because he seems like he's still improving every time he steps out.
Yeah, look, Nick, we don't know his ceiling. This is the thing, and this is the exciting thing. I've always felt why I've asked the owners just to hang in there and wait. He always showed me really nice talent as a young horse, but every time I went to ask him a little bit more, he kept falling apart on me. He kept going sore, and just his bone was not adapting to the training and what I was asking him to do. So we just had to wait and wait and wait. And so the most exciting thing for us now is to see his last 5 starts. Like, he had 2 seconds, 2 wins in Adelaide, and now this one. He's just continued to be on the up. And so that's the exciting part. The main thing we've got to do with this fellow is only run him when the tracks have got to get their toe in a little bit. And that ground at Moonee Valley yesterday was a racehorse's dream, the way it had raced.
Tony, he caught the eye for mine back at when he won at Kyneton on Kyneton Cup Day. He came from a long way off the speed on that day, which isn't easy to do. He gives a type of impression that the faster they go, regardless of what grade they are, the more he's going to be competitive, just the way he switches off.
Correct. I mean, Brendan, if you see him yesterday there, they went along at a solid pace, and for a horse having his, I think, 11th start, he just sucked it up and got into a beautiful rhythm and travelled like a proper horse. So it's really exciting where he's going to take us. But, look, we've waited this long. I said to the few of the owners that were there yesterday, this spring is not for him. It'll be too soon for him, I believe. And we've done all the hard work now. Now we've got to get the rewards by not rushing. And we'll just run him through and while the tracks have got giving him. And when they start to get firm, he'll go back to the paddock and then we'll think about next year.
Oh, he might be an Adelaide Cup horse, Tony.
Well, this is something for Adelaide to listen to. If the Adelaide Cup was in May, yes. But I would not be training him for an Adelaide Cup in March. Training a horse like him through the summer would end his career. And we need to get that Adelaide Cup moved back to May, where it traditionally was. And you can train a stayer when the tracks in the autumn, when the tracks start to get a bit softer.
So are we thinking Brisbane then, Tony?
I'm looking for a new racing manager. You might be the man.
You couldn't afford him, Tony.
True. Look, we won a benchmark 78 yesterday, so I don't think we should get too ahead of ourselves. We've got a long way to go, but those sort of races down the track are very possible, I must say.
Tantat Trusting, solid. You've been mixing distances with Tantat Trusting. Do you know what the best distance it is for it? It was an okay run yesterday.
Yeah, Dan, it was okay. Yeah, he has been confusing me a bit, this fellow. He's by Trusting, who was a good 1,400-metre horse, and his pedigree would say 14 to 16. My riders and my staff and the jockeys say, oh, he feels like he needs a bit further. So we tried it a couple of times, and he ran his normal solid race, but wasn't effective. So I freshened him back to a mile, but he was a bit flat yesterday. Like, he jumped lethargically out of the gates. He never travelled for James at all in the run, but still ran okay. It wasn't a horrible run. But look, he's got to go back to Adelaide. I'm going to take him back to Adelaide, freshen him a little bit more. He's a benchmark 85 horse, and coming into this time of the year, I think he might have found his level. So I think we'll take him home and change his scenario, and probably set him for a race like the Balaclava Cup. Might be a good race for him.
Ori Star next week at Flemington. It's been a good race for you over the years. Hey Doc, more recently, I think you had Shiraz as well. But have you got anything lined up for it?
Yes, I have. I'm running a filly called Uhud, stepping her out. I stepped out Fields of Omar in that race as well, and he won. So I love that race, the Ori Star. And Flemington track's in tremendous order at the moment, so I'm looking forward to stepping out Uhud.
And she had a jump. I know I saw her jump out. Was it last Friday or the Friday before?
Yeah, she did. She had a jump out a couple of weeks ago, and finished alongside of Vega Magic and trialled really nicely. We didn't overextend her, and she just pulled up to me suggesting that one trial would be enough and ready to go down the straight.
Who'll steer her next Saturday?
Luke Curry.
And Deep Force is a horse I was really impressed by. I know I wasn't the only one. I'm sure you were one of those people, Tony. What's in store for Deep Force?
Yeah, lovely horse, isn't he? Like, his two trials were really impressive, and the thing is, the clock doesn't lie, and he was running the same times or similar times as the open horses, and he won that little race very impressively the other day. I'm just going to keep him in Adelaide, and he's running at Murray Bridge next Saturday. There's a Saturday meeting at this beautiful new track at Murray Bridge, so he'll run there in a three-year-old benchmark 70, where I'd say he'll be beautifully placed, and then he'll find his way across here to Melbourne, and we'll take on the good ones when we get to sort of 1,400, I think. I think he's going to be an exceptional miler, that fella.
And if you had to pick out one or two horses for the spring carnival, we're talking more so in Melbourne, could you nominate him as being one of those horses, or have you got something else we should look out for as well?
Oh, yeah. No, I've got a tremendous young team of horses, and lightly raced or unraced, and I'm trialling quite a few of those tomorrow at Cranbourne. I've got a young dissident colt called Outlandos. I think he's got a really bright future. He'll step out in the next couple of weeks. And I've got a Nakoni colt called Mayan. He won in Adelaide and then ran second in a stakes race at Moonee Valley, and he's on the comeback. And a horse like Deep Force. So it's a really exciting time for the stable coming into the spring with all these classy young horses that we're still unsure how good they are.
And Tony, the Murray mentioned Murray Bridge. I think they've renamed it, haven't they, to McAvoy Park?
Yeah, what an incredible day for us that was. We did target it, but as you know, all the best laid plans come unstuck in most cases. But we had an outstanding day, and I think that's what you'll find. I think, you know, I ran a filly there, a really high class filly that's running and having a next start in Sydney, Pretty Brazen. She drew barrier 17 first up. There's very few tracks you would take on that challenge. But that track allowed me to do it because she sat six and seven wide throughout and won. So I think that just gives all praise to the layout of that surface.
And most of those winners were ridden by Baron Vorster. This season, will he be based solely in Adelaide, or do you think you might get him across to Victoria at various stages?
Look, I've had a long talk to Byron about this and his family. I brought him to Australia to be my Adelaide rider. Our plans have changed a little bit now with the sort of way racing is in South Australia, and with my son coming on and he wants to train in Victoria, so we've decided to set up in Ballarat. We're building a 100-box complex down at Ballarat, which we're hoping the build will start in the next month. Byron will come across and base himself at Ballarat. So we'll have Luke Curry in at Flemington and Byron at Ballarat. It'll make our team even stronger.
And what about over in Adelaide? Will you have a new South Australian rider now, or really trim back on how many runners you have in that jurisdiction?
I've just had a brief chat to Raquel Clark to see whatever Raquel's doing, and not to be my number one rider there because my numbers are going to reduce, but I've just said to Raquel, planning like a year down the track, if she was willing, I'd like to offer her first option to my rides, and she was pretty excited about that going forward.
There we go.
Tony, thanks for that. It seems like we've covered a lot of ground with you yesterday on what was probably a fairly quiet day for a trainer that's got such a big a team yesterday. You might have found opportunities throughout the course of the day to do other things you normally wouldn't do on a Saturday.
Yeah, no, we just had a couple of runners, races 4 and 6, so I enjoyed the day. It was nice and lovely to have a winner, of course, and looking forward to getting busier.
Well, as always, we really appreciate you coming on, and I'm sure you've steered us and all of our listeners into a few winners. Congratulations with more than ever. We'll keep an eye out for it heading towards maybe a Brisbane Cup. Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks, fellas. Bye-bye.
Tony McAvoy, he's great to talk to. He's very thorough, isn't he, when he talks about his horses and giving us a bit of an insight of some horses to follow. More Than Ever is clearly an up-and-coming stayer. It won a bit like the horse of Mare Eustace, the one the 2,000-metre race at Flemington the previous week. I think they're two horses that will win quite a few races from the 2,000-metre range onwards.
Yep, good to see Tony going to look after him. As he mentioned, this was a race that was run at a pretty hectic pace, but if you go back through his two runs in Adelaide, they were run at really slow tempos, and yep. He was up on the bit fighting, well, not really fighting, but he just wanted to go much faster from about the 800 in both of those races, climbing over their back, travelling with plenty to give. He got that tempo yesterday. I thought he might have been out sweeping around them, didn't play out that way, but just the turn of foot he's got at the end of 2,500 metres. Dan, as you outlined earlier, it's something that a lot of stayers don't have, just to be able to pick up and ping at the back end of 25 is a really great attribute. Bling Dynasty, he's the opposite to that. He needs to be out and grinding, and he just ground away as he does, but he hasn't won for a while. The Statesman did a little bit of work through the early stages of the race. I thought he was okay at his fourth run this time in, but for the rest of them, hard to make many excuses. They went hard, a few of them got exposed, they were beaten a long way, and I think the winner's the one we want to be taking further.
What did you take of Miramar's run?
Thought he was okay in a bit of traffic at the 1,000. He tried to improve from the 800, but in that run along the side, by the time they got to the 400, he was just about out of tickets.
And the vet detected a degree of internal exercise-induced pulmonary hemorrhage, which is not necessarily helpful. Sometimes it's drawing a long bow, I find, when you're trying to find an excuse, because the vet detected a degree. It was only a degree.
Yep.
So it's a concern, but a lot of its good form has been on those wetter tracks.
Taking a line through the race, though, Princess and Achiever, down to 51 kilos, has run fourth in the race, beaten 6 lengths. Princess and Achiever, you know, won a 58 over 2,400 at Maui last time out, has been running in high weight staying races. You know, Princess and Achiever is a good quality 64 type horse, but taking a line through those that finish behind the top three, they've got a little bit of work to do.
It was a messy race, though. It was one of those ones where the tempo was probably overdone a little bit and it broke it up. I thought the winning ride was absolutely superb from Jamie Curran. That was the difference. And well, Bling Dynasty, I think that was probably their chance to win a race yep. like this, and did look the winner at the top of the straight. But unfortunately for Bling Dynasty, Connections More Than Ever just shot through and was too good.
Social Element race-wide, but it was disappointing. The seventh event, well, quite possibly the ride of the day, was Linda Meach, and Inverloch was the horse that led all the way to give her a treble.
Approaching the turn at the 350. Inverloch boots for home about a length and a half. Mascolino, Dylan's Romance, another Coldy. Twilight Run with 5 lengths to make up. And Nimoy hunts the fence, but Inverloch went for home at the 150. 2 or 3 lengths in front of Mascolino, then another Coldy. But Inverloch is going well for Linda Meach again. Guess who? Inverloch's going to bolt in. Won it by 2.5. Mascolino, Bedford third. Fourth a photo, Dylan's Romance or another Coldy.
And a riding treble for Linda Meach. Inverloch, did you think that something was going to run it down at some stage? Because it was evident as they made the home straight that it wasn't going to be run down.
No, definitely not the way the race set up. She went to the lead. She didn't go hard. Splits 12.49, 12.81, 13.35, 12.95, 12.43. It's hard to come from that far back at Moonee Valley. Just a simple case of Linda jumping to the front and controlling the race. And those back in the field had too much to do. Bedford, Twilight Run, Al Galale, they were all a mile back. back. Mascalino raced close to the pace, just couldn't match Inverloc. Mascalino needs it probably a bit more drawn out than it was yesterday when Linda just sat up and then kicked off the turn. But I thought Al Galeo's run was good. He'll be getting fitter for next time. Naval Warfare's run last, but I didn't think he was the worst progressing four. But hard to take anything away from the winner, particularly the rider Linda Beach. She just stacked them up and sprinted them home and gave nothing else a chance.
And it was one of those legs of the quaddie where I dare say a lot of punters would have thought they were in a bit of froth and bubble in the run, because Inverloc seemed to be bowling along nicely in front. But it was a good win, because before the turn I thought Mascalino was about to peel off Inverloc's back and go straight past, and Mascalino, one of the fancied runners. But Inverloc pretty quickly ran away from Mascalino, and Mascalino ran a really good race to beat the rest of the field. So it was a race that certainly didn't change complexion that much. I think the best three runs were the first three across the line. Bedford finished off nicely, is very consistent and racing well at this grade. But yeah, a couple just didn't get into it here.
Twilight Run was one of them, but I see pulled up with a slow recovery.
Yeah, slow recovery. It was always going to be hard from... They strung out like they were going at a good gallop, but in theory, when you have a look at the splits, they weren't going that hard at all. And, Linda Meach was able to stack them up. Mascalino's best chance at beating Inverloc was probably trying to serve it up to him from about the 600 and make it a drawn-out process. But Inverloc just had the turn in the weights, had the softer run in front, and was just able to kick away from him.
Treble for Linda Meach, so she is actually at the top of the Jockeys Premiership for the new season, and I think she'll be riding every Saturday in town all the way.
The way she's
through.
Riding at the moment, she's going to be up there for a little while longer.
51 into 15 to win the Premiership.
Wow, that's a good go. It makes you wonder why she was 51 in the first place.
Will she get enough rides? I mean, bizarrely, she just doesn't seem to get the support of some of the more high-profile jockeys. Is that starting to change? Because if she gets the opportunities, she will be there when the whips are cracking at the end of the season.
Yep, no doubt. She'll be there.
I think so. Well, if we had to nominate which was the toughest race of the day, I think we'd all agree it was going to be race 9 over the 1,000.
Moore wanted well back from Condor Heroes, Perfect Statue, Eastern Pegasus and Exultara. So it's Definia at the 250 and Non-Payer about a length and a half, the Centurion aloof behind those with Forbid Me Not, and then came Reward with Return and Carlingford. It's Definia with 100 metres to go in front. Forbid Me Not's chasing Carlingford. Queen Annabelle late driving through, and Queen Annabelle over the top will win from Forbid Me Not, photo third. Carlingford, Definia, or Reward with Return from More Wanted, then Exultara.
That's Queen Annabelle. Well, Ollie did what Ollie does best, behind a wall of horses up to the home turn, and if there was going to be a gap, it was going to appear very fleetingly, but Ollie got the gap, and much to the delight of Rebecca Kelly, the trainer. Congratulations, Rebecca. I would presume that would be your first Saturday Metro winner yesterday?
Yes, it was. Yep.
And I can sense the smile right across your face there. Congratulations. It would have been a big thrill, particularly coming to the 300-metre mark when there was just no clear running at all, but it changed very quickly.
Oh, it did. We just thought it wasn't going to come. The split came, Ollie took it, and, she burst through. Nice turn of foot there. Great job.
The pressure in the race really set up well for Rebecca. Ollie was just able to coil her up and have her ready to let go. The last couple of races she's run in, you know, Prezzato was a building gallop down the straight, as was the run behind Tavasan, but just with a little bit of cover and a really high pressure race suited her perfectly.
Yeah, she's a very funny mare. She doesn't like to be held up much, but she can be slow away, so she likes, once she's into stride, she likes to sort of keep rolling. If that pace is on, it suits her just to be able to settle then, and then when she sees daylight, she likes to get up and go, so it worked out perfectly for her.
Rebecca, she'd be racing really well without winning. Do you think that victory yesterday might sort of give her the confidence now that she can go on with it and hopefully string a few together?
I think so. We were just sort of, we were wondering if she'd just lost a little bit of confidence, she does take a lot out of that, so I think she will go on, I think.
You've had her all the way along. I think she was an orphan foal.
Yeah, we bred her, and her mum passed away at 5 months old, so, she had to have a new mummy, and, kept her. We took her to the sales. No one else wanted her, so we brought her back, and quite happy that we did.
She hadn't won a race, I think, in about 12 starts, but of those 12 starts, Rebecca, there was a number of occasions where she was quite unlucky.
Yeah, it's sort of been the story. There's been a couple of races there. She probably should have won a mare's race at Flemington one day, but she got held up behind a wall and went to the line hard held. We thought that was our chance. We'd missed it. But, kept popping up and not getting beaten far. But, yeah, always something coming.
Now, you train at Sale. Tell us about the team that you've got.
I just got a small team at the moment because we're doing a bit of breeding as well. So I've got 14 mares to fold down this year. So that keeps me busy. So I've just sort of limited the racehorses. It pays off if you've got one that's going to town. So the other two are handy enough, but, yeah, not up to her standards.
Well, surely there's no better feeling than the day after having your last runner being a last start Metropolitan winner. I hope that smile stays on your face for a while to come. Rebecca, congratulations. We're thrilled for you. And good luck with Queen Annabelle and the team going forward.
No worries. Thanks very much.
Oh, it's great to hear and to see, you know, the scenes around the mounting yard. It means so much to so many people. Any win does, but when someone doesn't get that opportunity too often, and we've made mention Queen Annabelle, she's had a list of excuses over time there, but it was terrific for Rebecca, and the mare showed she's pretty good.
Yep, she's definitely good. She's definitely got a turn of foot. I was just wondering if she was lacking in that confidence Rebecca was talking about, but Ollie's doing a good job of late instilling confidence into some of these horses that haven't been winning. Ballet Master last week, Queen Annabelle this week. She just
got Street Chic.
Street Chic. He was able to con him into winning.
Couldn't work on Ormido, though.
No, didn't work on Ormido, but he's just got such a great knack. He's such a great rider and a great horseman that he can just turn these horses around.
And Rebecca's only got the small team that she alluded to, but if she keeps training like this, I dare say she'll have a couple more owners inquiring whether she can take their horse as well. She's done an excellent job with Queen Annabelle and was rewarded with that victory yesterday.
She has had success at Sandown midweek with Queen Annabelle, I think, on a couple of occasions there, but this was her first Saturday Metropolitan winner, which is always that extra step and a big thrill. Freeze over wide, the Centurion was wide. Look, you can probably come up with a few excuses. They raced tight over the 1,000 at Moonee Valley.
Yeah, it wasn't a pretty watch. Non-payer, half slow, kicked up there. Delphinia, the Centurion, they really burnt along. A couple of good mates of mine in non-payer. She was the favourite. She was well tried early through betting, then drifted. Maybe she doesn't quite get through the soft ground as well as they'd like, but there was a lot of pressure for her there yesterday. Queen Annabelle was able to take advantage of that. Delphinia has run really well after riding the speed. A host of them, Carlingford's run well. Exaltara, brilliant. Condo's Hero was okay. Perfect Statue, just forget it even went around. Diamond Oasis, another one, was just a non-event, never got out. So there's plenty that are going to have some excuses. They walled across the track around the turn. Ollie was able to find the gaps, dart through and win. But there might be a couple of winners to come out of it. Exaltara, Perfect Statue, Diamond Oasis was supported at the price yesterday. Carlingford reward with return. These horses in lower grade, these horses can drop back to Sunday sprinting level, can drop back to midweek, Moonee Valley under the lights, pushing forward. So, there'll be a few horses that can go out of this and win next time.
Just non-payer, the other little tricky thing that punters now have to deal with, that excellent win on the synthetic and then going to Moonee Valley and things not going right. So it is always challenging when sometimes they do it so brilliantly on one service and then can't do it the next start.
She's done it at the Valley before, though. She went under lights in the early part of this year. So she's adapted to racing on the ground. They just think that she's not comfortable at all on the soft, so she'll be targeted at races with firmer footing.
She's 3 from 3 on the synthetic, and then she's won 2 of 12 on all other surfaces. Yep. So fascinating little one to deal with, which we now have with the synthetic, and we've seen it now a couple of weeks in a row where some favourites on Saturday grade have gone from synthetic and not been able to get the job done.
The issue is with for her, though, now her rating's a bit high. They don't run too many synthetic races in her level. In her sort of rating bracket, so it's going to be tough for her to win on the synthetic. So firmer tracks over summer is going to be her go, you would think, because she can get some weight relief if she runs on the turf, whereas, you know, for trying to find a 78 on the synthetic is going to be tough for her.
This podcast is brought to you by rsn.net.au.
Brendan Delaney, what caught your eye yesterday?
I think run of the day I'm going to go More Than Ever. I like the way he picked up it and ran through the line. While the track stayed damp, he's probably the one to follow, but out of it I'm going to take Tavasan. I think he'll win a nice race in the next couple of weeks.
Nick?
I'm going to make Tarayef my run of the day, and another one we can follow going forward. A Black Booker, Diplomat Jack. No luck yesterday. I think we'll win a race in the upcoming weeks, hopefully at big odds. And Art Collection, beaten in the first race in Sydney yesterday. She's still a maiden. I think that will change very soon.
And I thought more than ever, like Brendan, and Age of Chivalry was the horse to follow. So that's the wrap of the Moonee Valley Review.
This podcast was brought to you by rsn.net.au.